The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the best football Friday of the year. It's put up or shut up at Lambeau Field. Is Aaron in trouble in what could be his swan song? Speaking of which, Tampa Tom in trouble. What will he have to do to keep his season alive? And the stars are ready to shine in the AFC. Which two will take the next step toward a super Hollywood ending? We'll answer all those questions and more as we get up with you, starting right now. You cannot ask for more. We got four huge divisional games this weekend, and you can't ask for a better crew that we put together today. Graziano's got all kinds of news, and he's got long underwear packed because he's going to Lambeau Field tomorrow night. Ninko is ready to go, and Sam Acho has got predictions for days. We are jam-packed on this Football Friday, and here we go. Let's get a quick look at each of these games. Ninko, what are you watching most closely? Bills versus Chiefs.
Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. We've built this thing up to be the new Tom versus Manning, the Brady Manning, the rebirth of two quarterbacks that are young that are going to be here for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to watch these two quarterbacks duke it out, and hopefully they're both at their best because that's what you want to see.
That's the Sunday late game. Meanwhile, Sacho, the other AFC game. What are you watching? Bengals Titans.
I'm looking at the Tennessee Titans backfield, whether it's Derrick Henry, Deontay Foreman, or Dontrell Hilliard. If your name starts with a D and you're in that backfield, you will be toting that pill. Who's going to stop this dominant rushing attack? That's what I'm excited to see.
How much will we see of the king? Dan will answer that question later. Meanwhile, Ninko, NFC, Bucks, Rams, what are you watching?
The offensive line of Tampa Bay. You know, you think the Rams right now, they're probably salivating to get after Tom Brady in the pass rush. So they met earlier in the season, they met together, and Stafford's playing at a high level. I think offensively, they seem to be firing on all cylinders. OBJ's balling out. Cooper Kupp, they have so many talented offensive weapons. That, with defense, might be trouble.
Fascinating game in Tampa. Meanwhile, Graz, again, you'll be at Lambeau Field. What are you watching for? Niners, Packers.
Can the Niners run the ball on this Packers run defense? This is Deebo Samuel as a running back. They have Elijah Mitchell. He wasn't there for the first game. The Niners have been running it on everybody. Can they continue that and keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline as long as possible?
A reminder, Rodgers in his postseason career, 0-3 against the 49ers. And hey, Dan, dress
here
warm.
Here we go.
Graziano will be there, and he'll be wearing his woolies. We're looking at a 4-degree night with the wind gusting to 12 miles an hour. It's going to feel like below zero.
Wow.
Dan, you look about as happy about it as I would feel were I sitting where you're sitting. Let's start with the injury stuff because it's obviously critical on both sides.
Yeah, so the Packers are getting guys back, right? I mean, Jaire Alexander, the cornerback, hasn't played since early October. They've got him listed as questionable, but they're optimistic he should be able to play. Za'Darius Smith hasn't played since week one, had back surgery, still on IR. Watch this today. If he's activated by 4 o'clock Eastern, he'll be able to play tomorrow. If not, then no. And then offensive tackle David Bakhtiari, he came back at the end of the season after missing all year, coming off that season-ending injury from last year, but he missed 2 days of practice this week, so he's listed as questionable. We'll see if he's able to go for this game. Obviously, would be an important part of Aaron Rodgers' protection.
All right, and so those are critical injuries on one side, and then on the other is the expectation that we will see Nick Bosa and that we will see the linebacker Fred Warner, and my understanding is that Garoppolo with the shoulder, they think he's fine?
Warner and Garoppolo have no injury designation for the game, which means they're going to play. Bosa is still in concussion protocol, has some steps he still has to clear, but they've listed him as questionable. They're encouraged by the way he's met the steps so far, and if that continues, then they believe they'll have him tomorrow as well.
So critically important as we are just a day away from this game at Lambeau Field. All right, Sacho, what is the single most important factor? What will decide this game tomorrow night, Niners at Green Bay?
Well, it's not a thing, Greeny. It's a person. It's Davante Adams. And who is going to stop or guard Davante Adams? Davante Adams against the San Francisco 49ers in his last four games. He averages 14 and a half targets, 10 catches, 120 yards, and over one touchdown. So he is a problem. He is a weapon. At this year alone, they target him about 10 times. He catches seven of them. Every time they target him, 7 out of 10, he will get the ball. And so I want to see, how is San Francisco going to game plan against this weapon? San Francisco historically this year has given up large passing games to receivers. So that's going to be my thing. I've seen Aaron Rodgers do it before. I think he'll do it again. Get the ball to his big time playmaking 99 overall on Madden receiver, Davante Adams.
How about you, Nico? What is the single key to this one on both sides?
Balance. Balance for the Green Bay Packers in the running game. So if you look at what they do offensively, play action pass, Aaron Rodgers is the best. The last two seasons alone, 35 touchdowns, no interceptions on play action. So if they run the football 25 to 30 attempts and they have success on the ground, well, guess what? That play action pass, pulling the ball out, getting down the field, I think that there'll be a lot of success with that. So running the football, having balance offensively, that's going to be the biggest factor in this matchup for the Packers.
Critical stuff to watch for. Mm. And if you listen to the radio show, I've been repeating all week long the overwhelming advantage the Packers have as far as the schedule. They had a meaningless game the last week of the season, and they had the bye. The Niners, meanwhile, played a life-and-death game on the road the last week of the season. Then they went back on the road to play Dallas in a late game on Sunday that went literally to the final second. And now here they are on a short week playing the road game. And so I brought this up to you this morning, and you made an interesting comment, I thought, as one who has played a lot of playoff games in your life, about how sometimes that doesn't work the way I expect.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you have that bye week, it just feels so long in between the last game that you played, then you have an extra week to prepare, and you come out sluggish. You come out a little flat. And I've been on teams where you have that bye, you're just twiddling your thumbs, going through practice, meetings. You're chomping at the bit to get on the field and actually play a meaningful game. So they have to avoid coming out sluggish. They got to start fast. It's in the playoffs, it's all about starting fast.
Dan, as this is your game, I know you're talking to people on both sides. What, if anything, have they said about that, about the schedule and what feels like, what Nico said notwithstanding, a huge advantage for Green Bay?
Yeah, the Packers players that I've talked to say that, you know, they believe it to be an advantage, but they talked about that, right? Like, you have to make sure that you use it to your advantage, that you don't come out flat. They had this last year. They had a bye last year, and then they beat the Rams pretty handily in this round of the playoffs at home. So between the cold and the rest and the fact that they're getting all the, potentially getting all these guys back that they really haven't had all year versus 49ers, banged up quarterback, and on a short week and traveling again. So their hope is that it does matter.
So many things feel like they lean in Green Bay's favor as we head into that one. But bear in mind, they've lost a lot of home playoff games in the last 20 years, actually more than any other team. So we'll watch that. Meanwhile, the other NFC game, Rams, Bucks, a rematch of their week three meeting, which the Rams won 34-24. Tom Brady threw for a season-high 432 yards, but also took a season-high 16 pressures. And yesterday he was talking about the importance of running back Leonard Floyd and him returning to the lineup.
Yeah, Leonard does a great job when he's in there. And I think his, obviously there's a lot of different things for us in the run game, pass game, blitz pickup. Very dependable, consistent player for us. So he's had a lot of production this year. Other guys really stepped up when he was out, but obviously we all love having Lenny in there. So did a great job in the biggest moments last year. I think everyone believes in him and trusts in him and knows he can really come through for us.
I don't know why, but every time they call him Lenny, it makes me smile for no obvious reason. But Jenna Lane joins us here, who covers the Bucks for us so well. And that does feel like such a critical piece here. When he got hurt, he was playing so well. What do we know about the status of Leonard Fournette for Sunday?
You're absolutely right, Greeny. He led not only this Buccaneers squad, but the entire NFL in the postseason last year in yards from scrimmage. Watched him quite a bit yesterday in practice. He was doing a lot of work during the portion of practice that was open to the media with head trainer Bobby Slater. Watched him do agility work, watched him do some jogging, but did not get a chance to see him running full speed. He didn't do that during the portion that was open to us. And that is going to be key. That's the reason why he wasn't activated off IR last week, according to Coach Bruce Arians, who told us that until he can reach top speed, he won't be out there playing. When he tried to do it last week, he felt something that just wasn't quite right in that hamstring. Now, I don't necessarily expect there to be an answer today on whether or not he'll go, because the Bucks actually have until tomorrow, Saturday at 4 p.m. to make a decision on him to activate him from IR.
Yeah, keep the Rams guessing if you can. Why not? And then the other piece of this, and we talked about the significance of that bye, the Packers didn't have to play last week, and Tampa did, and they got bad injuries on that offensive line. What do we know about Wirfs and Jensen and anything else up there?
Yeah, Greeny, All-Pro right tackle Tristan Wirfs has not been seen the last 2 days at practice. I know that they have been working nonstop on that ankle. I know he's been in a boot. We'll get to see the team this morning at practice in about 2.5 hours, and it'll be really telling if he's not out there on the field with his teammates. He tried to go back in last week after he suffered that ankle injury, but you could see it on the sack that he gave up to Ryan Kerrigan. He was driven backwards, and he just wasn't able to maintain balance. His backup, Josh Wells, he's been dealing with a quad injury, though. He's been limited this week in practice. And then center Ryan Jensen, while he hasn't been practicing, just the fact that he's out there putting weight on it, out there with his teammates, I take as a positive.
Yeah, they're banged up in a lot of bad places to be going against this Rams team. Jenna Lane, thank you. I'll be keeping a close eye on your Twitter feed later after they go through practice, and we'll see what, if anything, we get from that today. Meanwhile, we'll bring it back out here. And, you know, Sacha, we were talking in the meeting. Again, Leonard Fournette, will he play? Will he be effective? The offensive line. You were telling us it is that Tampa defense that you think is going to be the primary factor here.
I absolutely do. And everybody's talking about the Rams defense. They're talking about the quarterbacks and Tom Brady, and they're talking about Matthew Stafford, but no one's talking about Tampa Bay's defense. Yes, Matthew Stafford looked outstanding last week. He looked really, really good. But also, let's not forget, this Tampa Bay defense, and I played under Todd Bowles for 3 out of my 9 years in the NFL. He literally calls out the play before it happens. This defense will be ready for Matthew Stafford, for Odell Beckham, for Cooper Kupp. Yes, it will be a challenge, but it will not be a field day for the Rams. So I think that it's going to be a defensive battle more than anything. Will Tom Brady have pressure in his face? Yes. Will he have huge offensive output? Maybe not. But I think Tampa Bay's defense will be what wins them this game.
Yeah, look, they rode that defense to the championship for the most part last year. But you were telling us, Nick, that this game, the way it sets up, reminds you of a game you played in.
Yeah, and I'm thinking back to the 2015 AFC Championship when we had to go to the Broncos. And that Broncos defense had Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. Mm-hmm. And when I think back on this game, it was bad because we lost our starting tackle. We had some guys out from injury. They had a backup come in, and Tom Brady took 18 hits in this game, the most in his career. Mm-hmm. And really, if you think about the end of the season, and when you lose a game like this, the first thing you do, you jump on a plane, you go somewhere nice and warm. And I can think back to Tom after this game. He had to stick around a little bit and recover from this game when we played against Denver because he got hit so many times. So you look at the first matchup with the Rams, they got after him as well. So it has an eerie, similar feeling with the front pressure getting after Tom and not having your starters on the field, which is a big factor in protecting the quarterback.
Remember the game well. The Broncos went out to win the Super Bowl 2 weeks later against Carolina. Sometimes, like, Occam's razor really does hold, like the simplest things. Like, the Rams are really good at rushing the passer. The Bucks have trouble on the offensive line. It really feels like that's the game. Can Tampa find a way to let Tom get it done?
They can, but, I mean, this is the worst possible thing if you're Brady. And Brady can overcome anything, but this offensive line hasn't been a thing he's had to overcome since he got to Tampa, right? They have a deep roster, but this depth has not been tested. My good friend Hembo, texting me from over there in research, says that the five starting linemen for Tampa Bay have played 1,769 snaps together since Brady got there, which is more than twice as many as any other combination in the entire league. So he doesn't, and that's, again, the right tackle got hurt on the first drive. Brady's time to throw in that game was on average 2.17 seconds, which was tied for the fastest of any quarterback in any game this year. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah, it's a tough spot, and you hear Sacho's confidence in that Tampa defense. Maybe this becomes a defense game. Maybe they can find a way to make it a Matt Stafford game, which I think probably is their goal. It's going to be a fascinating weekend. We are just getting started. We'll get to the AFC as we continue in just a moment. We got a great quarterback matchup coming in Kansas City. We got Patrick Mahomes. We got Josh Allen. Is the NFL's next big rivalry renewed this weekend? Does Allen actually have the edge on Sunday on the road? Plus, Mike McCarthy's stunning revelation. Were his Cowboys nervous last Sunday, and did McCarthy make a huge mistake admitting it? Plus, does Jim Harbaugh really want to go back to the NFL? Dan has brand new reporting you will have to hear, and you will, as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Two best young quarterbacks in the league today. 99% of the people in the world is going to say Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Mahomes looking for the end zone. Touchdown! Mahomes is on fire!
Josh on the run. Jumps over a man. How did he make that happen?
As a competitor, it's everything you'd want.
All right, so the Bills are going to try and do something that no visiting team has done before, and that is win at Arrowhead twice in a single season. They're the fifth team ever to beat the Chiefs twice in Kansas City in a season. None of the previous four won both games. I misspoke there. They're the fifth team ever to face the Chiefs twice in Kansas City, and you see them right there. So, Nico, what is the key there? We always hear about what a tough stadium that is to play
in.
Obviously, weather, it's going to be cold. That shouldn't impact one team or the other. More, obviously, they're accustomed to it in Buffalo.
Well, it comes down to offensive efficiency in a loud environment, and can you get your snap count down and your cadence to where you're not giving the defense the advantage? And you see it all the time. If you have a loud environment, you look at the New Orleans Saints in the dome. You know, when their defense is on the field, it's hard for other teams to go in and get a great snap count down and have a rhythm that the defense can't just jump all over. So the Buffalo Bills are going to have to make sure that Kansas City isn't just pinning their ears back, getting after Josh Allen in a loud environment. And you see it all the time. You know, Seattle, all these loud places, false starts, penalties that can cause you to lose in these key moments.
Yes, I mean, the Cowboys had that problem at home, but that's a different conversation for a different time. Sacho, Patrick Mahomes is on one team in this game. Is it possible the quarterback advantage actually belongs to the other team?
I think it's more than possible. I think it's realistic, and it's even more plausible than we all believe. Yes, I think that Josh Allen has the quarterback advantage in this matchup. And the reason why, not only is he big and strong and fast, not only does he have Brian Daboll as his offensive coordinator, but he's not going against the Bills defense, right? You're talking about Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes has to play the number one ranked Bills defense. So that's a piece. The other piece too, Josh Allen is outstanding, not only with passing the ball, but also with running the ball. Every time he needs a big play, you're seeing it on the screen right now, he makes the big play, not just with his arm, with his feet. And then to add an icing on the cake, the Kansas City Chiefs are the worst defense when it comes to defending the quarterback run. Who loves to run as a quarterback? Josh Allen. Shout out to Hembo for that stat. And so for me, the biggest deal in this game, quarterback-wise, is Josh Allen not only passing it, but also running it.
Absolutely. Although, Dan, you gave us an interesting X factor as far as Buffalo's ability to run it.
Yeah, Devin Singletary's been playing very, very well running back. And this is a team that last year going into the playoffs, they weren't running the ball at all. Their passing game was functioning at an incredibly high level, so they didn't really miss it. But they definitely feel, the Buffalo Bills, that their run game is in a much better place this year in the playoffs than it was last year. And they're, you know, that allows them to do some things. They had a game against Atlanta late in the season where they got the ball back with 5.5 minutes left and ran out the clock. They were very proud of that. That was not something they would have done last year. But, yeah, so I think they're set up for that. I thought Nico's point was interesting about the crowd. Road teams did very well in last year's postseason. And only 1-5 this weekend. Well, what's the difference? The stadiums weren't full, last year.
Exactly.
So that is a big difference.
Well, last year, as far as that stuff, is a complete outlier. I think the numbers almost, from that perspective, have
but
to be
thrown
out.
But it's a reminder that, like, Arrowhead, you know, this weekend is going to be different than it was a year ago.
It also smells really good, the barbecue. So Chiefs, a 1.5-point favorite, which is the slimmest favorite they've been at home since Mahomes became their quarterback. Grez, who do you like in the game?
I'm taking the Bills. I hate picking against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They make me look bad every time I do it. But Bills were my preseason Super Bowl pick. I've got to stick with them now that they're this close. So I'm taking the Bills. Josh Allen coming off that game last week. I mean, they may just be on a mission and just about to roll through everybody. And if that's the case, then I'll look good.
Nico, who you got?
Well, listen, week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the ups and downs with the Kansas City Chiefs, the wagon was firmly attached to the hitch of my truck. So I am going with Kansas City on this one. I think that the weaponry that they have, Patrick Mahomes, they've been there, they've done that. I think that is going to be a big factor in this matchup, and I'm going with the Chiefs.
Okay, that's one aside. Sacha, who you like?
I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. They haven't been there and they haven't done that, but they are primed and ready to go there and do that. I got a chance to spend time with the Bills and Sean McDermott and understanding their culture. They are trying to win by any means necessary. They got embarrassed in week 13 against New England. You saw what they did in their rematch against New England. Now they're ready for Kansas City again. I think that Josh Allen's going to have a huge day. I think Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer are going to have big days on the back end, and that's why I think the Buffalo Bills are going to win.
Yeah, I see my name there. I don't like Buffalo in this game. I love Buffalo in this game. Whoa. Did you know that they have the best pass defense in the NFL in the last decade? Did you know that however good you think Josh Allen is, he's better? Did you see what they did in New England last week? The idea that game meant, oh, the Patriots weren't really that good. Belichick isn't really a genius. Nonsense. They went in there and in their own building and humiliated a very proud, good defense with the greatest coach of all time. They are playing as hot as anybody could possibly be playing right now. I'm looking right at you, Nico. We're the only one with the Chiefs under your name.
Listen, I give credit when credit's due. The Buffalo Bills, they had a great game plan. They went out and executed. Now they have to go on the road. They have to do the same thing against the Chiefs and keep that energy. Sometimes it's hard to keep that same momentum going.
# Bills Mafia. We will see. We'll pick
they don't
all
like
the game
me anyway.
As we continue today, as we roll on, Mike McCarthy with a stunning admission to reporters. Did he make a huge mistake? You'll hear it, and we're talking about it next. Plus, does Jim Harbaugh want out of Michigan? Wait till you hear what's been sitting on his desk for the last 2 weeks. You will in just a moment. Let's get up on ESPN. I'm on fire. I gotta get it. Keep my mind on my business. I'ma show you how I'm living.
I'm on fire. Run it up. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up, and Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott has been fined $25,000 by the NFL for his post-game comments related to the game officials after their tough loss Sunday to the 49ers. Meanwhile, his coach, Mike McCarthy, was meeting with the media, and he used a curious word to describe his team at the start of that game. Listen.
I thought we were nervous to start the game. Felt it in the locker room at the team prayer. But I thought we fought through that.
Why would your team be nervous? Is that the pressure of needing to win, wanting to win, having to win?
Well, let me take the word nervous back. I mean, it was a little angst, okay, which I think just like anything. I mean, it's just – I mean, they're excited. They had a great week of practice. I thought the pregame was good. But, you know, I just think that, you know, we weren't – you know, they were a little cleaner than we were at the beginning of the game. That's just the facts.
Huh? I mean,
huh?
What? Okay, hold on. Here's just the first thing I will tell you. When you were the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, you don't get to take the word back. That's just not the way the game works either, right, Ninko? If anyone knows that, you do.
Yeah, of course.
They're bringing up things you didn't say.
That's just the way of the world,
I guess. So what do you think of the coach saying, I felt it in the locker room during the team prayer, we were nervous to start the game.
Well, it's up to the coach to make the team feel prepared to not have nervous energy and not be nervous. The only time I'm nervous, or if I'm walking into a test or an exam, a final exam, and I'm nervous, I'm scared, I didn't prepare, I didn't study, I'm not ready to go.
Right.
So it's up to the head coach to make the team feel like we're prepared, we've done everything possible to go into this matchup and go out here and play our best. When you're nervous, that means you have questions in your mind on if you can actually get the job done.
He actually went on to say, and you heard it right there, they were cleaner than us at the start of the game. Yeah. And it connected that back to the nerves or the angst, which suggests that the 49ers were ready to play psychologically and the Cowboys, is he saying, were not? I'm flabbergasted by this. Sacho, what is your reaction?
Well, I don't know if y'all saw the video of the San Francisco 49ers before the game with Deebo Samuel, Trent Williams, and the boom box and the entire team walking out of the tunnel to the locker room. The San Francisco 49ers were not nervous and they had no reason to be. A lot of people said, and they were right, they're one of the hottest teams coming into the playoffs. Dallas Cowboys knew that, so they should have been nervous. And so I don't think he should take anything back. I think Mike McCarthy was right. The Cowboys were nervous. They played like it, and that's what we saw. He called a spade, and Dallas Cowboys were a nervous spade.
Well, Dan, you are one who, you know, could be sitting there reporting on what it is the coach just said. What, I'm looking at your face. What is your reaction to that?
We've had this conversation about Mike McCarthy all year, right? You don't call the offense. You don't call the defense. What do you do if you're not preparing the team to win? I mean, like, that's your entire job is to set the tone. And so even if it's true, and God knows we don't get enough truth in these news conferences, so thankful for him at least being honest, but that does not put him in a real good place vis-a-vis the criticism he is receiving for the job he did as their coach this year to say, hey, we weren't ready to play at the start of that game. Hey, buddy, that's on you.
That's right. You know, Ninko, I think that the analogy you used is a good one. You know when you're not nervous walking into a test? When you know the answers.
Exactly.
When you know the answers to the test, you're not nervous. When you know what's expected of you, you're not nervous. When there is uncertainty of any sort, that is when you become anxious. And it suggests that there was a level of uncertainty for that team going in. Is this directly from the Joe Judge School of Media Management? Like, you've got the job and then you talk your way out of it? I don't know what's going on.
He probably should have said we had butterflies or something.
Yeah.
Because you always have that energy inside of you to, like, go play the game. But to be actually nervous, that's a different thing.
Yes. I'm not suggesting, I'm sure he didn't mean it the way it comes out. But part of that, your job there is the messaging. So once you put that out there, it doesn't go back.
I mean, at the very least, say, you know, they were cleaner than us at the start of the game. That's on me, right? I mean, unless we cut that part out, I didn't hear that.
No. So no. He felt it during the team prayer. Yeah, go ahead, Sacho.
Yeah, it's on the team chapter.
Greeny, I don't think he misspoke whatsoever. I think the team was nervous. We don't need to talk ourselves out and try to overcomplicate what Mike McCarthy said. They were nervous, and that it is what it is, and they should have been nervous. Yes, they finally got healthy. Yes, they finally got all their receivers back. Yes, they thought they were going to win. At least a lot of people did. But San Francisco was peaking at the right time, and Ninko knows this. I knows this. Anybody who's played football or watch football knows this. Sometimes it's about peaking at the right time, and San Fran was. So the Dallas Cowboys should, in fact, have been nervous, and Mike McCarthy saw that, and he called it what it was. He needs to be better, absolutely, but we don't need to sit here and say that they weren't nervous.
So let's take that for let's take it then at face value. I'm sure there are a lot of fans out there watching this who are saying, "Well, you're going out to play a really big game. Of course you're nervous. You played more big games than almost anybody I know. Are you nervous before a game?"
It's an exciting energy that you finally get to go out there and perform. And when you have prepared and you've done all the practices and you've had the time to make sure you're ready, you might have butterflies, but there's a difference between, you know, having that feeling of I'm about to go play a football game and, man, I hope we're ready to go here. I hope we can go perform. There's a difference. There's a big difference.
Danny, put a ribbon on it.
Sacho's point is the best point. You see that video of the Niners rolling out of their locker room with the boombox. They looked like they were ready to go kick some butt. Like, that was it. And honestly, if I were the Cowboys and I saw that video, I'd have been nervous.
they look. I get that. We keep describing. We'll try to get that for you a little later in the show. In the meantime, Danny, let's run the hurry up. There's a bunch of coaching stuff out there. Where are we starting with the New York Football Giants?
New York Giants have finished their GM interviews. They should have a GM in place soon, possibly as early as today, and at that point their coaching search can really begin in earnest. They've only made one request so far. It's for Dan Quinn, who's in high demand, so that's why they wanted to get that out there early. Brian Flores, you see here, just fired by the Dolphins, is a name I would expect to come up in the Giants coaching search, among others, obviously, but this should get started here in the next couple of days. Eric Bieniemy is a name we haven't heard much this cycle. He is interviewing with the Broncos today for their vacant head coaching job. It's the only interview request that Bieniemy has received so far in this cycle, which is really a big departure from the last couple of years when it felt like he was interviewing with half the league. He has some hope in Denver, has a relationship with the GM, George Payton, from their time together in Minnesota. So we'll see if this might finally be the time for Bieniemy. And the Las Vegas Raiders and Jim Harbaugh have kind of been connected in rumors, speculation, etc., for the last month or so. My understanding on where this stands is that Harbaugh has had contract talks with Michigan, that there is an offer on the table that he could take but hasn't yet, and that he remains intrigued by the idea of returning to the NFL, where he was very successful with the 49ers, and doing so as the coach of the Raiders. Look, everybody I've talked to here has said the same thing, which is it's very hard to predict Jim Harbaugh, but there's real interest both ways. The question is whether it results in him getting the Raiders' job or whether they decide it's not the right time and they go look elsewhere. But this is the spot to watch for Jim Harbaugh if he's coming back into the NFL this year.
And let's just amplify the point you made. Your understanding, and it's what I teased earlier, is that he's had an extension on his desk for 2 weeks and hasn't signed it.
An extension, a new contract, whatever
an
it
offer,
is.
Right.
There's some sort of contract because he had a salary cut last year. And so, obviously, after the year they had, they're trying to make it right. So he could stay there. He could absolutely stay there. But it does seem like there's at least some interest in the Raiders.
Ninko, do you like Jim Harbaugh back to the NFL?
Yes, I do. I had to play against him a bunch, and he was a very good coach. The teams were always prepared, always tough, always really hard-fighting football teams. And when it starts at the top, unlike the Cowboys, you know, they really were a very hard team to prepare for, and you know, a lot of respect for Jim Harbaugh and literally both Harbaugh coaches. You know, I played against both of them, and every time you're going to be sore after playing those teams.
Yeah, Dad was a coach, obviously, on the college level, Jack, and now Jim and John both coaching. And if you think back to his tenure there, they make the Super Bowl the one year. They're basically one play away from winning it. The year before that, they should have been in the Super Bowl. They had two muffed punts in that game against the Giants in the NFC Championship game. The final year, they lose on the third year, they lose on that last second play where Richard Sherman breaks up the pass. Mm-hmm. So I mean, he's like one play away from being in three Super Bowls in three consecutive years. Sacho, you like it or not, Harbaugh back to the NFL?
I absolutely love it. And Harbaugh, speaking of those three consecutive years, those were my first 3 years in the NFL, and I played the same division as Jim Harbaugh. So I played against those San Francisco teams twice a year, every year. And Ninko said it right. You will be sore. They are disciplined. They are focused. They will, like, it's going to be a problem. If he goes to Las Vegas, it's going to be a problem for the Broncos, a problem for the Chiefs, a problem for the Chargers. It's going to be a problem for the entire AFC West. And so I think it'd be a great move for him. I feel bad for my friends who are Michigan fans, because if he leaves, who knows what will happen with the University of Michigan. Some of my really good friends love Michigan. But I think that Jim Harbaugh and the NFL is a great move.
It's ironic, too, because one of the knocks on Harbaugh at the college level, while his record at Michigan has been grossly misrepresented, he's been a much better coach there than generally he's gotten credit for. But if there's been a criticism, it's that he's not done a great job of developing the quarterback. In San Francisco, he did exactly that. If you go back in time, when he got to San Francisco, Alex Smith was a bust. He resurrected Smith's career and then handed the ball to a comparatively little-known backup from Nevada, if I remember correctly, in Colin Kaepernick, and turned him into a star. So he did a very good job developing quarterbacks at the pro level.
Yeah, and he won games. I mean, this is this guy, counting his playoffs games, he was 49-22-1 as an NFL head coach. There's no other coaching candidate anywhere doing interviews right now that can compare with that kind of winning percentage at the professional level.
Is Vegas the only place we're hearing this?
Only one I've heard, yeah.
Miami continues to feel like, I know what the owner said about not wanting to take him from Michigan, but at the end of the day, if he's going to leave Michigan anyway, then that doesn't make much sense.
It's certainly a wild card and something to watch, because Stephen Ross, if you go to the University of Michigan, you see his name on all these buildings, like he's heavily involved there, and he loves the idea of Jim Harbaugh as his coach. But he came out and said that that would not happen. So if we take him at his word, we take him at his word.
A little confusing, because he would be the best candidate for any opening because of his previous experience and his record.
He would be, I think, the safest bet. As much of a wild card as Harbaugh is with his somewhat offbeat personality, he's probably the safest bet. By the way, speaking of coaches, you may have seen this on social media yesterday, but in case you didn't, this is a picture of Washington's coaching staff in 2013. The head coach was Mike Shanahan. Those three guys were all on the staff: Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, and Sean McVay. Do you know what they have in common?
Yeah, they're all still playing.
Yeah, they are now all head coaches, and their teams are in the NFL's Elite Eight. Can I tell you something else about them? That team went 3-13. Yeah. They went 3-13 with those three guys on the staff. The head coach got fired, and two of the three were gone. McVay was elevated to the offensive coordinator. Tennis anyone? We had ourselves a big surprise in Melbourne. Naomi Osaka, the defending champ, taking on Amanda Anisimova. They would split the first two sets. So here we are, third set, where it's all going to be decided. Anisimova serving, trailing 5-4, but she's got the big, powerful serve. She had 11 aces. We're now tied at 5. Osaka with the advantage, and she's serving. She's in the far court, and it's Osaka goes up 6-5 in the third. Anisimova trying to force a tiebreaker. Again, down 5-6, and there's another ace. So to the tiebreaker they go to decide it. Now here's Anisimova with a match point opportunity, and appropriately, bam, that's all she wrote. Out goes the defending champ. Osaka ousted in three. She is going home. Great respect from these two women as the 20-year-old Anisimova moves on in the land down under. And tennis's first major of the year rolls on with our third round coverage continuing tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN+, and then on ESPN2 at 9 Eastern. Every point of every match can be seen live on ESPN+. Coming up, just how healthy is Derrick Henry? Will he dominate Sunday against Cincy, or will Joe Cool spoil his return? We'll answer that question next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up on this Football Friday. Let me get you the NBA game of the night. And Steph Curry had himself a good night as the Warriors were a 16.5-point favorite hosting the Pacers. But this is a close game, under 7 to go. Warriors up 1. Watch this pass. Look at that. No-look dish. Steph to Gary Payton II, who throws it down. And Steph with a little shimmy. He also scored 39 on the night. Under 3 minutes to go, the Warriors down 2. Curry with the save, Curry with the drive, and Curry ties the game at 106. Warriors would take the lead on free throws. Pacers down 3, 10 seconds to go. Justin Holiday, that's for the tie, and he's got it. Pacers even it up. Warriors looking for a chance to win. 5 seconds left. Juan Toscano-Anderson. He's going to get all the way to the cup, but that one's not even close. And so we're going to overtime. 48 minutes insufficient to settle the issue. 20 seconds left. Warriors down by three. No good, but the Warriors going to get an offensive rebound. Look at Steph, wide open, but he misses. The Warriors were 9 of 42 from three-point range in this game. They have to commit a foul here. They would get one more chance. Watch what happens. Klay Thompson checking into the game. 3 seconds left, down by three. The inbound to Klay. The ball goes out of bounds. It's initially ruled Golden State ball, but the Pacers challenge, and it's overturned. And it ends just like that. Steph scored 39, but the Warriors lose by four. Meanwhile, we've got a great game tonight. Just one game on this Friday night for us on ESPN, and it's a great one. The East leading Bulls take on Milwaukee and Giannis. Fabulous game. We'll have a one-hour NBA countdown starting 7 Eastern tonight to get you ready here on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. Time for a game of more or less. Looking at the four games this weekend. Ninko. Tom Brady, 2.5 passing touchdowns. More or less?
More. Going with more. I think this is going to be a shootout. This is going to be a fun game to watch. I don't think he'll have all day back there to throw the football, mm-hmm. but I really think he'll throw for 3 touchdowns.
We always give Ninko the Brady question.
Yeah, why is
you
that?
Might as well
then
just write
take
more.
Or whatever I say, it's like, ooh, are you playing with Tom?
Yeah, and that's right. You were going to say more. If I said 9.5 touchdowns, you would have said more. Graziano, Jimmy Garoppolo, 0.5 interceptions, more or less.
I have to go with more. I appreciate the producers taking care of me on the grammar
make
here,
it fewer.
I'm going to go with more. Garoppolo, they turned it over twice in the first meeting. I know the 49ers have been talking all week about turnovers. Can't give Aaron Rodgers the ball more than you have to, but I think with the shoulder and the thumb, Jimmy's just not in the best place physically. I'm going to say more, at least one interception.
Now, he threw that terrible pick against Dallas that let them back in the game. Here it is. This if he doesn't throw that
not
interception, they're going to win that game 26-7. Acho, more or less, Joe Burrow, 1.5 passing touchdowns.
More. Joe Burrow will have more. The last 5 games, he has 13 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. He's also that dude. He's throwing to Jamar Chase. He's throwing to T. Higgins. He's even got Mixon in the backfield. He's making plays. And so Joe Burrow will throw more than 1.5 touchdowns, probably more than 2, maybe not more than 3. 3 is my limit.
I like it. And let's dive into this game a little bit because Burrow is really the unquestioned star. He's going into a game against a team that had the bye week and is the number one seed, and yet Burrow is really the talk of everything. And you were there last week for that. To me, so much of this is about Derrick Henry. What do we know about what we should expect from Henry tomorrow?
I expect him to be really good. I checked in there on Monday, said, what is it looking like for Henry to play? And I was told, if he has a good week of practice. So I checked in again yesterday. I said, did he have a good week of practice? And the answer was yes. And then I was asking, is he going to have to be limited in any way or his regular usual workload? And the response was, he's a machine. So I think they're ready to use him and use him the way they normally do.
So how do you feel about that, Ninko? Now you're a linebacker or whatever. You're on that defensive front for Cincinnati. And here comes Derrick Henry, who has not played since week 8, so he's as rested as a person can be. If he's really healthy, how would you describe the weapon he becomes?
He's very impossible to try to stop. It's like really hard. It's almost impossible to stop the guy because he's so big, he's so strong, he's so fast. You just look at the yardage that he's able to just chew up when he's healthy. So, Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator for the Bengals, has done a great job with Cincinnati. I really, really like the Cincinnati Bengals offensively, defensively. You know, you bring in Trey Hendrickson. He has a terrific year. But it's really tough to stop Derrick Henry, especially they have a couple injuries at the mm-hmm. interior defensive line. When you lose guys like that, usually the backups are hard to come in and just replace that level of run-stopping ability. So to have some injuries at the defensive line on the interior, plus having Derrick Henry back, that is not a recipe.
And it's their DNA. Sacho, you mentioned it earlier. Even if Henry isn't at his best, they're going to run the football.
They absolutely are. The first 8 games with Derrick Henry, the stats were up there. 219 rushes, 937 yards, averaging around 4.3. But without Derrick Henry, there was, 198 rushes, I think 908 yards, averaging 4.7 yards per carry. No matter who's back there, the Tennessee Titans are a physical ground-and-pound football team. That's their mentality. They want to be hard-nosed, like their head coach. A player is a reflection of their coach, and this team is a reflection of Mike Vrabel. And so no matter who's back there, which I think Derrick Henry is going to be great, This team will run the football. Cincinnati has to be able to stop it.
All right, so let's do the picks here, guys. And Dan, I'll let you make your point as you make your selection because we're going to run out of time. But we're going to pick all the AFC games in this hour. We had three picks for Buffalo earlier and one for Kansas City. And now we'll do this. And I believe I'm going first here, Cindy, because I wanted to cheat. I wanted to say, well, if Derrick Henry really can play, I'll take Tennessee. And if he doesn't look like himself, I won't. But I was told I'm not allowed to do that. So I'm going to take the Titans. They're the one seed. And they've got the rest and everything to get Derrick Henry back. And Sacho convinced me they'll run the ball anyway. So I will go with them. Graziano, take it.
Yeah, I was going to say that those backup running backs did something Derrick Henry doesn't usually do, which is fumble the ball, and it cost them a couple of games. Mm-hmm. But, look, I'm going with the Bengals. I know we've talked about the bye and how important that is. I've got Burrow fever. I mean, like, I just think the kid is playing at such a high level. It's so much fun to watch. The receivers are so great. They didn't even play that great on offense last week, and they were able to win the game. Burrow was annoyed after the game at how they played, thinks they could play better. Titans, they give up a ton of yardage to wide receivers. I'm going to go with the upset.
Nank?
Look, I love Cincinnati. I love Joe Burrow. I love everything about him, but I'm going with the Titans because sometimes when you lose a player like Derrick Henry, that actually makes your team better because your backups have to play at a higher level. Now he comes back, and now they can mix those guys in that were playing at a high level without Derrick Henry.
Saj?
I'm going Tennessee Titans. I think the defensive line of Tennessee will get after Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow will play well, but that defense will make plays.
So in the AFC, we had three picks for Buffalo and three picks for Tennessee. We will pick the NFC games coming up in our next hour. Also on the way, could the upset of the year happen Saturday night on the frozen tundra? Will it be one and done for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? We're going there live as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.